In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is April 9th, year 2012, and it's Easter Monday. Christ is truly risen.
Alleluia.
And don't let the apostate Jews and anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with them this morning. This lecture is a condemnation of St. Benedict's Preparatory School in Newark, New Jersey. It contains some excerpts from my video lecture, Black Criminals, Racists and Radicals, with additional information against St. Benedict's Prep. I was going to St. Benedict's Prep from the years of 19... I think when I first went there was for 3 years. And it was, I think I started in 1969, and I ended my junior year because the school closed down because of racial tensions, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. Now, the first thing you got to realize, when I went to St. Benedict's Prep, they had a few black kids in there that were okay. They weren't rowdy. They weren't radical. But what was wrong about that, though, was, and this is very bad, there were sins against the first commandment. They were Baptists. They weren't Catholics. You're never, ever, ever in a Catholic school allowed to mix Catholics with non-Catholics and educate them together. It's a sin against the faith. It is forbidden. And these so-called Benedictines, nominal Catholic heretic priests that educated me, allowed blacks to start... non-Catholic blacks to come in. But even these few non-Catholic blacks that were here when I first went in weren't too bad. Because they put them under a moral code. There's only a few of them. But they still shouldn't have done that. Here's my point on getting that. They committed a sin against the faith by allowing these black Baptists to come into a Catholic school and be educated side by side with Catholics. Now, if you Benedictines wanted to educate non-Catholic kids, which we're not against, that's a good thing, educate them in their own school. Here is the school for the non-Catholic kids that the Benedictines can then come in and teach them some moral laws, and they can't force them to be Catholic, but they can teach them certain things and teach them the basics and all that, and teach them, but separate from Catholics. Now, that was the first crime I recognized when I went there. What are these guys doing there? They're not Catholic. They even started to bring in Jewish teachers, which was never allowed before. We had one Jewish teacher, but he didn't last for 1 week with us. His name was Slosher or something. He came in to teach biology or something. Within 1 week, we got rid of him. We called him a Christ killer and whatever else. And he got all insulted, and they came in. God was inspiring us to do that, to get the guy out of here. Well, I want to just pave the road to show you what was happening here in the beginning before even worse things started to happen. Because when you start committing sins against the faith, then the Romans 1 curse comes down, which says because they didn't like to have God in their knowledge, God turned them over to reprobate sins. Because you deny articles of the faith, which are the worst sins of all, this is actually, these Benedictines weren't Catholic anyway, then God starts sending massive immorality, your reasoning and all the moral commandments start to get broken, and then what happened was, the more liberal so-called Benedictine monks sided with these radical blacks, these criminal blacks, and said, why don't we let a whole bunch of them come into St. Benedict's Prep and give these underprivileged kids a chance. Now it's all a little underprivileged. I don't care how underprivileged you are, you can never break God's law without being guilty. And you're supposed to be punished. And if a society doesn't punish people for breaking God's moral law, it gets even worse. So what did they do? When I was going to school there, I lived through this transition period. They started to let in a whole bunch of blacks on scholarships, black Baptists, I guess, or they were not Catholic. And now these were the worser type of blacks, the evil blacks. They were bringing in guns. They were bringing in knives. They were bringing in heroin and drugs. And they were doing them during school. They started punching out the priests, even punching the priests and the monks in the face. They started fighting with them. It was all hell literally broke loose in that particular school. And it was war. One of my Italian friends, he got into a fight with a black and he was beating the black on the ground. The black had a knife hidden here, and he was stabbing him in the back. He didn't know it. And then after the fight was over, he's driving home, and he punctured his lungs. They almost killed him. Another kid got shot. Another kid, they're doing heroin in the school. I said, wait a second. What's going on here? You're letting these savages come. You know, the righty Benedictines, the ones that are a little bit not as bad as the liberal lefty Benedictines, that's what caused the school to close down in 1972 and 73 season. It closed, and there was a big split amongst them, and there was a big conflict. And we were saying, how could you... If I ever, as a white kid, punched my teacher in the face, I'm dead. I'm expelled. I'm gone. Why could a black kid do this? Is there a double standard here? I call that racism. You're allowing him to do whatever he wants, to break God's moral law and get away with it. And you're bringing him into the school and creating a major disruption. And so this was only a few years after our riots, major tensions, all right? These kids are coming, and we go up to them and we say to them, what are you guys doing in here, this school? Because we say, what are you doing in this school anyway here? You know, with the way you're behaving, you're not even behaving correctly. Wise up. And they say, well, we don't want to be here anyway. I says, well, why are you here? Because our parents want us to go here because we're on a scholarship and we got a free tuition and they want us to go. He said, he want to be here. I said, we should send them back to Central High, to the public school, and get them out of here. We had dances there. One dance, then the blacks came in, they brought in a bunch of radical blacks, we had a big riot there. Big people were getting stabbed, people were wounded, the cops had to come out and break it up. But I want to tell you something about those dances, and this is before they even let the blacks in. This is supposed to be a Catholic school. Did you know that the dances that St. Benedict's Prep had were notorious for immorality? That even the blacks and the neighboring people say go to the, and all the like Essex Catholic and the other so-called Catholic schools would have all their kids go to St. Benedict's Prep's dances. Because the lights were turned down low, they'd have strobe lights and rock music, making out with girls and all this, and the priests would never stop you. They liked it. They would even look at it. I went to a couple of these dances, so I'm a first-hand witness of it. This is a Catholic school. Lights are low, strobe lights are over, rock music, all the kids are bombed, drinking booze, and the girls are there, and they're molesting the girls, and everybody went, this is a so-called Catholic school we're talking about, St. Benedict's Prep. It makes a mockery out of the name of St. Benedict. So what happened was they finally closed down St. Benedict's Prep. It was so bad. I mean, you never seen anything like it. I mean, I see him come out, punch one black kid, he comes out, he punches the teacher, then a whole riot broke out. It was just, the whole riot broke out. I mean, you're not going to do this. Punch a teacher in the face. Punch a priest in the face. It's unheard of. Black kids did it, and they got away with it. And this one old priest, he came in with a couple of us white kids that were there, and he brought us some ice cream, you know, once in a while. And they don't ever do stuff like that, but he's being real nice to us, but he felt, I says, what's he being so nice to? He was trying to tell us, well, the school's going to close, and the reasons they're telling you are not the real reasons, but we can't really tell you why it is or something. But the reason that they said they closed the school down was because they didn't have enough money to keep it running. And the guys that were at the meeting says they were offered blank checks to keep the school running. They had plenty of money. It was the racial thing. Yeah. It was a really big situation. And the priest that were on the right of these, she said, we're not going to continue to do this. We never allow this in any educational system, and we will not do it. So they went to Del Barton. The other liberal lefty priests stayed in, and monks, whatever, stayed in Newark. And now they have their liberal lefty down till today school where they got mostly non-Catholics in there. And they pray together. They even had Buddhists coming over there and pray with these so-called, they're not real monks, they're monks, but not even real monks, Benedictines. They pray together at St. Benedict's, the Buddhists. They pray together. So all these sins against the faith that are being committed, right? And now he's doing all these social works and he thinks he's doing really good. He prays with them and all that. He doesn't care one bit about the salvation of their mortal souls. And he's never really calling a crime for what it is. And he's never really calling out the evil what it is. You never punish good people and coddle the criminal. Our Lord said in Proverbs 17:15, he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, both are abominable before the Lord. That's what these people were doing, these lefties. You never make an excuse for evil. And that's why I'm giving a sermon. These evil people are extremely immoral and extremely bad. As a matter of fact, we'll just end it off with that. How bad they are. I've been sending them stuff trying to convert them. I've been telling them they're on the road to hell. I've been witnessing to them. They took money from this gangster criminal guy called Robert E. Brennan, who was swindling stocks, and he was up on 13 counts. Basically, he was taking pension money from old people and stealing it and robbing it, and he got convicted. And they built St. Benedict's Prep up with his money, and Seton Hall University had one, their big library, their big library built up by him, money he donated. He was their big patron, their big padron, Robert E. Brennan. And he was a stock market criminal. And I remember when he was building St. Benedict's up, he had on the corner there, they labor in vain unless he labors in vain unless the Lord build a house. Psalm 126:1. The Lord build a house. Satan's building your house with robbed money. With robbed, stolen money. I wrote him and told him that. And then I went to try to visit him to tell him personally. So I went into his office and had a meeting with him. And when I was in his office, he had a picture of Robert Brennan up there, not of Christ, not of Mary, not even of the so-called Pope. Just Robert Brennan, his idol. And he never met with me. He wouldn't come out to meet me. I was sitting there for about an hour. So I wrote him letters on it. But just recently, we found out, well, this is not recent. This is when the trial took place in the year 2001. Brennan was up on 13 counts of federal bankruptcy fraud and money laundering filed against him, was found guilty. And he took that money and built St. Benedict's Prep with it, built it up, and so did Seton Hall. And it says, the priest, the Reverend Aaron Leahy, headmaster of St. Benedict's Preparatory School in Newark, said Mr. Brennan had donated $14 million to $15 million to the school since the early 1970s and was considered the school's guardian angel. I have to correct that a little bit. Guardian devil. Mr. Critchley asked, okay, now it goes on to here say, now, what happened is, they got up on charges, they got Father Leahy up on a witness stand, Mr. Little Heretic, apostate, Father Leahy, liberal, lefty, immoral pig, up on the witness stand, and they asked him these questions. Coming down to this, basically, do you think it's right that you took stolen money and you're building your schools? Other people's stolen money is what it comes out to. So it goes like this. It says, during the cross-examination this morning, Assistant United States Attorney Henry Klingman asked Father Leahy if St. Benedict's Prep faced a moral quandary in accepting money from a financier required to pay $75 million penalty for bilking investors. The priest replied that it was not a moral issue, but a legal issue to be resolved in the court. First of all, he says that's not a moral issue if somebody bilked people. You know, he's trying to get off politically so he doesn't get in trouble. Then it goes on, Mr. Klingman pressed the point, prompting Father Leahy to argue that there were deeper moral issues to ponder than some contributions. The priest urged that the prosecutor to look out to court. Okay, it goes like this. The priest urged the prosecutor to look out the court window at the rundown homes nearby, and he said, that's a moral issue. So he's your lefty liberal. He says, it's a moral issue that people are living in these rundown homes, but it's not a moral issue that I can take stolen money from people. He's doing the Robin Hood thing. You can steal from people. You can do evil to do good. That's what he's really saying, that he can build stockbrokers, and he can build his place up, and maybe even build that home out there. Let's go rob 3-4 people out here so we can restore that home. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now look what happens. The prosecutor persisted asking Father Leahy if he would be concerned if Mr. Brennan had robbed a bank and given the proceeds to St. Benedict's. He says, yeah, probably. The priest replied, seeming exasperated. Yeah, probably? Yeah, probably? That's probabilism at its best, isn't it? Maybe we'll get a heretical theologian to come out and support his opinion that you're allowed to take money from a robbed bank, and then, here he is. But he got his up. My point I'm reading is because I warned him before I left. And that was in the 1990s. On this, I wrote him letters and everything. Here he is. He got it. But he's still back in business over there. Brennan's going to get out of jail. He was in jail for 12 years. He might be out now. This was 2001. And what was another thing that happened here? One last thing. Then I was still sending these guys brochures to try to convert. The headmaster was Abbot Melvin Valvano, and Father Edwin Leahy was the head of the school, the schoolmaster. So I send them stuff, right, like to try to convert them in the mail. Well, one day I got a response from Abbot Melvin Valvano. He was the guy I told you that was a nutty theologian. He had a thing called the two-edged sword, and when he got up and gave theology school or religion class, ain't nobody understood a word he said. His hair was all disheveled, and he'd get up and go, nah, and he would go on talking, and it was like, blah, 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 and no one understood a word he was. He's looking good. What was he talking? And he was not even looking at the people. He was just going off on a tangent. The guy was a wacko. Anyway, he's the abbot of the place. So he writes me back. I'm trying to convert them still and send him my brochures and my newsletters back then, and this was July 2nd, 2004, he emailed me. He said, Dear Richard, I just read your circular letter, Validity of Paul VI Diminished Rights. I surely would like to enter into a conversation with you about you and the Roman Catholic Church. I shall place you in my prayer, your friend in Christ, Abbot Melvin OSB. All right, now, I wrote him back on July 5th, 2004. St. Anthony, July 5th, 2004. Here's what I wrote him. Dear Father Valvano, it is good to hear from you. As you may know, I was a student at St. Benedict's, and that would be class of 73 because they closed up. I had to go to Essex Catholic High School, and I finished here, and it was a lot better than St. Benedict. I will be glad to converse with you. I must let you know that what I say is not out of hatred for you, but love for your soul. First of all, for the love of the true God, the God of the Catholic Church. The church you belong to is not the Roman Catholic Church. We are living in the days of the great apostasy, the great revolt that St. Paul speaks of in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-3. Under the current circumstances, the best place to start talking about the Roman Catholic Church is her deposit of faith, the infallible dogmas by past popes. This is one of the necessary marks that identifies the true Roman Catholic Church. That being said, I will ask you these basic questions regarding basic dogmas of the Catholic Church. 1. Do Muslims and apostate Jews believe in a true God? 2. Is the Old Covenant still in force? 3. Are Talmudic Jews under a religious covenant with God? 4. Is Talmudic Judaism, a religion that denies and blasphemes the Most Holy Trinity, intrinsic to Catholicism? 5. Are Catholics allowed to knowingly pray and commune with non-Catholics? Which is what they do all the time. Father, you must admit that there are big problems in the Vatican II Church. The massive sins of immorality are only symptoms of the loss of faith, of the great apostasy that we are living in. The gross and massive bad fruit is a result of a lack of the true knowledge of God. See Romans chapter 1. Tell Father Leahy I said hello. May the most precious blood of Jesus through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary grant you all the graces you need to embrace the truth and abjure from the great apostasy so that you may enter the Catholic Church and have a hope to save your immortal souls. Your friend and former student, Richard Joseph Michael Librani, to Jesus through Mary. So that was my shot. I said, good. I told Brother Will, I got a chance to convert this guy. I didn't save his respond email. I should have, but it's real short. Here's what it is. Oh, dear Richard, you must have misunderstood me. I don't want to talk to you about religion or anything about religion. I want to talk to you about your well-being. Yeah. Your friend, Abbot Melvin. My well-being, like I'm a little psycho. Now, right? Now you know what? I wanted to talk to you about your well-being. Now, I didn't realize it, but when I read his original letter, he says, I do want to talk to you about the Roman Catholic Church. It's when I hit him with the zapper questions. The Catholic Church is 2 + 2 = 4 questions. I got no answer from him. Just like Father Brian Harrison, that other apostate. Why could he not answer my questions, this pseudo-intellectual scholastic dummy? Instead, then he comes back and lies even. I caught him lying. He says, oh, I don't have any intention of talking to you about religion. Here he is, a priest. He doesn't want to talk about religion. But first of all, he said he did. Here's his letter. He said it right here when I read it. He says, I would like to enter into conversation with you about you and the Roman Catholic Church. And now he didn't want to talk about it because I hit him with these questions. I'm telling you, you stupid bastard, that's a problem in the whole world today. Your first sins you guys are committed, even though you think you're good in the eyes of the world because you're a role model, religiously indifferent school that lets in all these different religions and you idolize criminals. And you're over, and even if they weren't criminals, they're not Catholic, you're never supposed to educate Catholics with non-Catholics. You guys are committing, the worst sins you commit though, are sins against the faith. You yourselves are proof of it by inviting Buddhists in and you prayed with Buddhists. I have that article. You prayed with Buddhists, and you're like a role model of the Vatican II Church, and what do they call that? Liberation theology and all that. That's what these guys are. Let us see what the notorious heretic, apostate, and idolater, Father Edwin Leahy, tells us about his and Saint Benedict's Prep's mission. Let us see what gospel he preaches.
But for Father Ed, it's not about being loved by the students.
My question to them is, well, I don't care whether you like me. Are you able to do what you want? If you're able to do what you want and you don't like me, that's okay. It worked. Doesn't matter.
So, the gospel according to Father Ed and St. Benedict's Prep is to enable fallen men in their short lives upon this wicked and fallen earth to do whatever they want. He does not even mention the salvation of their immortal souls. Father Ed's mission is identical to Satan's mission. Satan's first and primary commandment is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, as recorded in the book of the law, written by the notorious Satanist, Aleister Crowley, and reiterated by Satan's Pope, Anton LaVey, in his Satanic Bible. The true gospel of Jesus Christ teaches that men cannot do whatever they want to be saved. The true gospel teaches that men must believe in Jesus, believe in the Catholic faith, belong to God's Catholic Church, deny themselves and take up the cross, and obey all of God's commandments to be saved. Amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. He that believeth not is condemned. Mark 16:16. If he will not hear the church, the Catholic Church, let him be to thee as a heathen and publican. Matthew 18:17. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8:34. Go not after thy lusts, but turn away from thy own will. Ecclesiasticus 18:30. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17. Pope Eugene IV, Council of Florence, Bull Cantate Domino, 1441 AD, infallibly teaches the Most Holy Roman Catholic Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that none of those existing outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans but also Jews, heretics, and schismatics, can have a share in life eternal, but that they will go into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels, unless before death they are joined with her. And that so important is the unity of this ecclesiastical body that only those remaining within this unity can receive an eternal recompense for their fasts, their almsgivings, their other works of Christian piety, and the duties of a Christian soldier. No one, let his almsgiving be as great as it may, no one, even if he pour out his blood for the name of Christ, can be saved unless he remain within the bosom and the unity of the Catholic Church. This is not the gospel that Father Ed and St. Benedict's Prep teach and preach. In obedience to their master, Satan, their false gospel teaches that men can be saved by doing whatever they want, and thus be saved no matter what God or gods they believe in, no matter what religion they practice or belong to, and even if they are atheists, as long as they do what they want.
My question to them is, well, I don't care whether you like me. Are you able to do what you want? If you're able to do what you want and you don't like me, that's okay. It worked. It worked. Doesn't matter.
The Satanic Gospel of Father Red and St. Benedict's Prep promises men liberty to do what they want, while they themselves and those who follow them are slaves of corruption. St. Peter says, promising them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. 2 Peter 2:19. The Satanic Gospel of Father Red and St. Benedict's Prep commands men to do wickedly and gives them license to sin, whereas God hath commanded no man to do wickedly, and he hath given no man license to sin. Ecclesiasticus 15:21. In obedience to the Satanic commandment to do what thou wilt is the whole of the law, Father Ed and St. Benedict's Prep allow self-professed non-Catholics to attend St. Benedict's Prep alongside self-professed Catholics, and even worse, allows them to pray together, both of which have been infallibly condemned by the true Catholic Church. Council of Carthage, 257 AD. One must neither pray nor sing psalms with heretics, and whosoever shall communicate with those who are cut off from the communion of the church, whether clergy or laymen, let him be excommunicated. For example, a Black Baptist, Reverend Peter Winstead, composed religious songs and sang them at St. Benedict's Prep with the faculty and students, which is an act of religious communion with non-Catholics, with members of heretical sects. I read from St. Benedict's Preparatory School News. Commencement ceremony tugs at the heartstrings of those in attendance. Class of 2011 receives diplomas. Pays tribute to a mentor, June 6, 2011. But there was also a solemn yet uplifting tribute by the class of 2011 for the Reverend Peter Winstead. It was learned only hours before the 137th commencement that the Reverend had passed away after a long illness. Reverend Winstead had been a staple of St. Benedict's musical scene since 1989, most notably during the Christmas program performances with Father Albert Holtz and during his bi-weekly appearances at Convocation. His inspirational musical renditions on the piano breathed life into many sleepy students during Convo and Shanley Gym before they headed to class on the mornings he performed.
Although the Reverend has passed away, you can see how much he is alive, proclaimed Father Edwin during the proceedings. And yet we have another heresy from Father Ed. He is hinting that Reverend Winstead is still alive in heaven instead of telling the Catholic dogmatic truth that he is damned to hell for all eternity because he died in his heretical sect. Here is a video clip from the commencement ceremony. Now, let us see how Father Ed in St. Benedict's Prep, "Let men do what thou wilt," by breaking God's first commandment, by respecting and honoring the pagan and idolatrous religion of Hinduism and its many false gods, and places his students in religious communion with them. I quote from St. Benedict's Preparatory School News, SBP, latest interdisciplinary project on display in Washington, D.C., July 2011, by Pamela Y. Hunsinger. The school's latest effort, the Asia Project, has extended far beyond the walls of the Hive. St. Benedict's entered into a unique partnership with the Hindu American Seva Charities last March, HASC. HASC is a progressive American organization advancing SEVA community service while promoting interfaith collaboration, pluralism, social justice, and sustainable civic engagement. The conference in Washington, D.C. was themed Energizing Dharmic SEVA. SEVA refers to the Hindu spiritual practice of selfless service. Just before SBP's second Asia Project Festival last March, SBP Chair of Fine Arts, Pamela Y. Hunsinger, attended an event of the Interfaith Dialogue Project at Rutgers, hosted by Nikki Shah of AmeriCorps, VISTA, and Rutgers Center for the Study of Genocide, Conflict Resolution, and Human Rights, both of which partner with HASC. Quote, "Even though I sat there as a white Catholic woman next to my black Jewish student in a room full of Hindu Americans, I felt no separation," said Michelle Turto, SBP science teacher and dean of faculty. Quote, "Instead, I felt the commonality of a desire to serve others and know God through that. I felt not just tolerance, but appreciation of others," end quote. St. Benedict's music chair, Jeremy Fletcher, accompanied two jazz band students after the conference dinner as they played Indian and Indian-inspired music. Fletcher said he was very aware that people who are practicing members of different religions have more in common with each other than with non-practicing members of their same faith. Quote, "This made me think of our tradition of religious inclusiveness here at St. Benedict's," he said. "We as a body of different faiths have many beliefs in common with each other, and we can learn from each other and interact in a truly ecumenical fashion." St. Benedict's students presented drawings by Jan Gutierrez, one of Ganesha, remover of obstacles, for President Obama, and one of Sura, the sun god, to the First Lady.
Even though Sing Benedict is 12,000 miles away from the heart of China, the school was surrounded by Asian culture last Thursday. Several students took part in the Asia Project, a visual art and music expo that took place in the cafeteria and in the auditorium December 2nd. Started last spring phase, stretching into this year's first term and fall phase's art classes. Students learn how to create art.
There's actually like elements, which is fire, air, earth, and water. So we use that in our drawing. Many art, hand postures, they go together. So, like, it was really great experience for us.
To help get into the mood for making art, kids even meditated to Asian music. I'm Telmo Demarais, reporting for the Benedict News.
The true gospel, the true Catholic faith, condemns Father Ed and St. Benedict's prep. Bear not the yoke with unbelievers. For what participation hath justice with injustice? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath the faithful with the unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Wherefore go out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief, be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:6-12. And the infallible Fifth Lateran Council in the 16th century teaches, we decree that all those who cling to erroneous statements of this kind, thus sowing heresies, which are wholly condemned, should be avoided in every way and punished as detestable and odious heretics and infidels who are undermining the Catholic faith. All false Christians and those with evil sentiments towards the faith, of whatever race or nation they may be, as well as heretics and those stained with some taint of heresy or Judaizers, are to be totally excluded from the company of Christ's faithful. And Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Mortalium Animos, teaches that everyone knows that John himself, the apostle, altogether forbade any intercourse with those who profess the mutilated and corrupt version of Christ's teaching. If any man come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into the house, nor say to him, God speed you. 2 John 1:9-11. Hence, the true Holy Catholic Church infallibly denounces Father Edwin Leahy as a notorious heretic and idolater, and St. Benedict's Prep as a heretical and idolatrous sect. As a result, all the so-called Catholics who attend or support or defend St. Benedict's Prep in any way are notorious heretics and idolaters. They are not Catholic. They are automatically excommunicated from the Catholic Church. They are all part of the apostate Vatican II Church and on the broad road to hell. In the
name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.